Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to episode 2, is it?
We don't really know where we are we?
Just season 2, episode 29.
Season 2, episode 4, I think, because episode 3, we don't come to special, do we?
Special 1. And anyway, good evening, lads and ladies.
Should we tell the listeners about how naked we feel right now?
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Like,
so we invested in this kind of like mic setup. So those of you who've watched any videos that we've put up, which are
if we've put them up or not,
if we put them up yet, it included us with these kind of clip-on mics. So at the moment, I'm kind of staring awkwardly at DJ instead of awkwardly at the phone like I normally do, and I'm. I don't know, it's kind of weird, like, I feel like I should be talking down the way, like, into my chest.
Do you know what I exactly feel like right now? Do you know Talladega Nights when he's doing that interview and he's like, I don't quite know what to do with my hands?
Yeah, no, that's exactly,
that's exactly what I feel. I feel like that gif right now.
Anyway.
Well, basically, we normally record with the phone, our hands talking into it, and now we've got microphones.
And, like, it was a thing whereby... we used to take turns kind of hosting the show, and that will kind of die a death a bit now. Like, we will have somebody starting off the show and trying to take the lead throughout, but like, it won't be someone hogging the phone and passing around.
Yeah, we'll have to get like a pink dildo cover for one of the mics, and they have the power.
I thought you were going to say like a pink dildo that was going to act as a like talking baton.
Seeing as this is coming out on Valentine's week, we're going to try and throw a few love references in, like pink dildos and like. Might not be one for the kids, this one, lads.
Or any of them.
Who will we call a cunt this week, Owen?
I don't know.
We were laughing in the preparation for this episode. We were talking about having a more topical current affairs episode.
We've lost the plot. So we realised that this episode is going to be coming out on Valentine's...
The Monday before week. Valentine's Day.
Yeah. So we were saying, oh, we do a kind of a love team, but we've literally fallen apart just giggling at some of the ridiculous topics that we could make, and they might make an appearance throughout the show. But
we're winging it this week.
We're totally winging it, unlike most weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna take a little sip in here.
While you're having a sip in there, Owen, have a little think about what are you drinking tonight?
Oh, thank you.
Smooth.
I'm actually in our previous format of passing the baton around. Wouldn't have been able to interject quite as smoothly as that. But anyway, I'm on Yellow Belly's Citra Pale Ale. It's their flagship February here in Brady's Yard, and probably their other pub in
Simon Lambert's. Simon's, they have some offers on Simon's, yeah. I see on Facebook.
But here anyway, yeah, it's a flagship brewery, so we're just after having one of the flagship pints and a flagship new pizza belong to them. I have, what did I have? I had the Rocket Ape, which was this kind of ham and apricot pizza. Delicious, real kind of crispy base. DJ, what you have?
I just had El Clásico.
What's that? Just a
bit of tomato sauce on the base, bit of cheese, bit of oregano,
oregano,
whatever you're having yourself, whatever side of the hemisphere you're on.
And what flagship beer did you pair with that for him?
Are you asking me what am I drinking tonight?
What are you drinking tonight?
I'm on the Hopton Space, delicious hoppy pale ale. She's a darker pale ale than the other pale ales have, but why fuck does it lovely? She goes down smooth. Very new, hoppy now.
I hope our new mics capture that lip smacking.
I tell you what, the lips are smacking. Like, do you know what? Some people aren't into the hoppy ones, but I actually love a bit of hop, a bit of aroma. Like citrus notes there, lovely flavours. It's a fucking delicious beer to drink. It's really, really good. It's again one of the flagships. Like, it's just, do you know what? With Yellow Belly, with a lot of craft beer, the key is having their like solid flagships, the ones that people keep going back to. Because like, as been well publicised on this podcast, like they've mostly hit the odd miss, like they smell vodka we weren't mad about. But then like you go on Twitter and they're retweeting so many people saying that they're mad about this not vodka, and it's amazing. So like that's the beauty of craft beer. It's for whoever, and every different craft beer will have lovers and haters. But the thing with the Yellow Belly flagship range, Citra and Hopton Space, Citra Pale Ale, if you're a light pale ale lover, if you're a lager lover, it's absolutely amazing. You can't go wrong if you're new to craft beer with a Citra Pale Ale from Yellow Belly or a Keller Beer from Yellow Belly, which would be their closest things to like Hop House 13 or Heineken, basically an upgrade on either of those. Whereas the Hopton
Keller Beer is kind of like that Carlsberg and Filter,
is it? Fairly similar. Like, I'm not too gone in the Carlsberg and Filter, but the Keller Beer is very clean, very crisp. Like, been out a couple of times, been here a couple of times with friends at the weekend, where like we're not here on official work capacity, so like, you know, you're here with people who aren't used to drinking craft beer, aren't used to like hoppy, citrusy aroma inducing beers, and that can
like
be quite
Jamie Day.
Well, actually, talking about Jamie, when the first time he was here when we met him, he said to me, what do I drink? And I said, do you like, what are you into? And he said, oh, I like hoppy stuff. And I was like, yeah, Hopton's face then, it's literally in the name. Like, it's exactly what it says in the tin.
Yeah, wrong team.
Full of hops for a spacer like me.
Yeah. I'm on the Citra, and it's 4.4, 4.2, 4.0. Is it?
I've done zero research for this. Like,
yeah.
Citra's about 4. It's a 4.8.
I think it's a 4 anyway. It's light enough. And the reason I'm on a light enough on it is because I'm just back after the razzle dazzle skiing.
Aye, how'd you get on?
A week skiing. Oh jeez.
with the Today FM boys.
With Today FM. Shout out to Ian Dempsey.
Shout out to Mickey Joe.
Shout out to on the trip was Mickey Joe Hart, Pashart, the Academic Blade. There was a cover band called the Harleys. Ian Dempsey was there. Marion Rosenstock came over on the last day, and good crack now. Good old crack. It was just before we came on air there, I was telling DJ that like we went to the East Coast Ski School there at like 10 a.m. every morning, and we used to kind of go for about an hour of skiing, and then the shots of Jaeger come out then at about 11 o'clock, and we'd be just sculling little shots of Jaeger, and we'd get like schnapps in the restaurants or the bars if we were gone as well, and then we'd tear off down the mountain and go to another bar and we'd tear into more drink. Like,
but you had the Grand Crisp Mountaineer was grand for that, like.
Oh, stop. It sounds so naff, because it's like it's kind of like this American saying, but like they have some, oh, mountain rules, you don't get a hangover on the mountain, but it's like, it's actually so true.
It's fact,
like, yeah, like you, like,
it's a cliche for a reason.
You obviously you get a hangover, but like it's when you hit the slopes that like it's gone. As soon as you get that first chairlift or whatever, you're sitting down, that cold air hits your face, it's just gone, like, and yeah. Like, but it's funny, like one of the lads in the group was saying, like, he's like, what like us Irish do like is absolutely ridiculous. Like, you know, when you go out in the Lash all night long, and you get up at 10 a.m. and you go fucking skiing, like hard at it skiing, like he was like, you wouldn't want the Lash and all go to the gym next day, no. Like, you know.
You wouldn't go out in the Lash at 5 o'clock in the morning and go out and play a hurling match on a Sunday morning then, like, would you? I've tried it a few times. Yeah. I probably know worse, but I definitely know better.
We had this ski instructor called Lucas. He was a local chap from he was actually from Bad Gastein.
Matt's lad.
Matt Lucas, yeah. Lucas anyway. He didn't teach us much now, like, he was, as soon as he found out like that we were up for the session, he was kind of like, I want to go on the session as well, like. But it's funny, the Monday night of it, there was a fancy dress table quiz organised by Today FM.
I saw you on Facebook.
Yeah, I was dressed up as Pat Butcher.
Do you know what, actually that's what we guessed in work. I had a plane in work and I took a picture of it, showed everyone, and everyone like was like, he's absolutely Pat Butcher from EastEnders.
Yeah. That's not, what it was.
I know one person thought you were who the fuck did you think you were? Monroe or someone named Marilyn Monroe.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, that's Pat Butcher.
Pat Butcher.
Kirk, can you tell by the blue earrings?
So anyway, I was there as Pat Butcher and we had a great night and I'm sure we were like absolutely like stoches all night. Band was playing afterwards, DJ, bopping around, really, really, really good fun night, like. But, like, all the ski school were there, and we had really, really good crack. So the next day, next morning, like 10 a.m, we met our ski instructor, and we were buzzing after the night, and we were saying, like, oh, we had such a good night, and we were like, you know, we all dressed up, we had the table quiz, a bit of crack. It was like two of the girls in the group won like second prize in the fancy dress and stuff, and like they were dressed as Jedward, and like it was like we had such a fun night, like, you know. So we were like there and we were like, oh, do you want to see some photos from the night? And we were kind of like looking at the at the ski instructor, and he wasn't really listening to us, and he was he was still flaming himself, like, the next morning, and he wasn't even like kind of listening to us, and he was kind of real and really excitable, like, himself. We were like, Lucas, what the fuck's wrong with you, like, you know? And like, we didn't even get to show him the photos. He goes, guys, you won't fucking believe what I did last night. You won't fucking believe what happened last night. And we were like, all right, like, we thought we were fucking hot shit with like our night, like, you know. He goes, guys, last night I was a barman at a sex party. We were like, what the fuck?
Are
you serious? He said there was 47 Germans in this like little fucking hut up the mountain.
With Eric Cartman's mother.
But they were all up there, banging away for the night, right? And like he said, he didn't get home till like 5 a.m. He had to ski home at 5 a.m.
I'll be the same pet.
Oh my god, he had 2 hours sleep, right? But he was saying it was the most surreal thing ever. He said he found out that I had to do it was a sex party like that day beforehand, right? So he said he had to get absolutely locked
in order to get through it. It couldn't be serving people at a riding party sober, like.
And he said, oh, I was so glad I wore lederhosen because they were trying to fucking rip the clothes off him and everything, like, you know. But he was saying it was absolutely surreal. He was like, just be standing there, like, and these people, like, gyrating away, like, and then go, sorry, can I get some apple juice?
Fucking apple juice.
Apple juice. And that was the thing, that was actually the thing that he was nearly most upset about, was that they were sober.
Oh my god. They didn't even have a beer hammer between them.
Anyway, you
told that story about Germans, that Neve listens to this, that's fucking Oktoberfest off the stag list. Oh yeah, well, Actually, this is our first time seeing each other in 2 weeks since we were last here with Dodrini, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've been away and I've been away. I was in Liverpool for a weekend. Did you see the view from my hotel room?
Oh, yeah. It was right unreal. Class.
Yeah, right by the building. Great weekend with Niamh, and shout out to TJ Call and Leanne Cody, who was over there with us. Got fucking spanked in the pool there at A2 by TJ, and we were both flaming. He cleaned up 4 or 5 things. Serious pool player. Serious pool player. Good man yourself. I have to give the credit for it. I can't let it slide. I have the shame of a man who has been absolutely had off in pool. But good few nights. Hit a few great bars. Actually, we nearly did, but we didn't. Thank God. The whole thing was there was a Super Bowl party on in O'Neill's and a Super Bowl party on a motel. Motel was packed. O'Neill's was tickets only, but you could pay in because Adam sold out. So the lads were like, we just got the pop world, and I was like, lads, it's £8 in the pop world, it's £5 into O'Neill's. I think we ended up just getting Mackey's and go back to the hotel because we've been out all day anyway.
Yeah.
And this is at like 1 o'clock, you know, it wasn't like 10 o'clock.
Sure, you're not even at the halftime show. You're not even, I'd say, started.
But that's insane. If it was the two of us over there, I'd be like, we're in motel till 5. The first night there, yeah, we went to watch the Ireland England. We went to Wetherspoons for dinner. Because Ireland were playing England rugby.
Oh, yeah.
Every pub was mobbed. And we went to McCooley's for a few pints. A few very dodgy pints. Very dodgy. Like, there were some serious fire the next day. And went to McCooley's for a few pints. And then went upstairs to Boston Pool Off. That's where we played a few games of pool. Niamh and Leanne stole some table tennis rackets and some ping ball. Had a few games of table tennis and had to be told off. Get off it, like, people were paying to play and they're stealing the table. Classic. And that was the first day we went to, yeah, then we went to motel, which is a great spot. Have you ever been to motel? No, we didn't go when we were over. We'll have to go next time. We'll have to go back over and meet the boys that we did the last podcast with.
Yeah.
We go to motel and I have a few drinks. Motel is possibly, it's probably my favourite spot in Liverpool. Actually, I put a sticker up in motel. It's not a sticker. And I put an Instagram story of me doing it up, and they shared it, so I'd say it's probably staying up. Yeah, they have a few arcade games, and I slapped on the side of that. But the next day it was a bit quieter. I went to what do we do? The girls were hungover enough, so we went for a stroll, did a bit of shopping, and then when they went to bed I went to the pub to watch a match myself. Tom Hall Sports Bar. It was a good spot. I was the only one in there. So I had a pub to myself for about 18 screens. And I went out that night, went to a few nice spots, and ended up the four of us in Flares on our own. Absolutely Flares. It's like a nightclub based on 70s disco, basically, like light up dance floor. Just the four of us in there, no one else on Sunday night. Absolutely fucking hilarious. We had Rubber Soul, the Beatles bar before that.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a lad that took a particular interest in me, so. Random scouse lad who took a particular interest in me. If you're listening, shout out to you. Yes, I am sexy if I don't say so myself. And it was a brilliant night. One of them leery nights where you're laughing at how leery everyone else is without realising you're getting there yourself. And got these cherry cocktails in Flares, and you got a free cowboy hat with each one. So myself and TJ looked like absolute legends in this glittery cowboy hats, and it's rough enough. But yeah, good weekend. And then I had the old had a lad shove my camera down my lungs yesterday then, but you're like, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, you had a nice trip, I'd say, while getting that done.
Fuck me. Whatever drugs he gave me anyway, and I'd say it's just the usual ones he gives everyone else, but in my 70-something state afterwards, I noticed my phone poking out of my bag, and I sent a few Snapchats. I just noticed before we started recording, I tweeted off the Snugcast account. I was leery, and I hadn't even a drink taken. It was good, fucking good fun though. They were midazolam and they were, I think fentanyl in the game as well. It's good crack, good fun. So good crack with that. Sent a few risque Snapchats and myself looking bollocko, but listen, at least I had my cock out. Anyway, lads, that's our intro. Fucking a nice long intro there. We'd like catching up to do ourselves on Wednesday with cheese. So what we're going to do is we're going to polish off these drinks, we're going to have a piss, and then we're going to talk about some more serious topic. Some more serious topics of a few drinks from us. And you never know, might talk a bit of Love Me Sexy by Jackie Moon. Baby, who wants to love me sexy?
Welcome back, you Lady Diana.
Oh my god. We're going to court.
Actually, there's a... Have you ever seen... There's like this Facebook group.
Prince Philip.
No, there's this Facebook group. Look it up, lads, right?
Oh, I've seen
like
this.
Lady Diana, like, appreciation group. Like. And it's like, you know... It's like... I don't know. Someone put up in it there recently. Something like... you know, everyone has their faults. Name some of Lady Diana's faults. Or Princess Diana's faults, like, you know? And, someone's just like, she is an angel. She doesn't have any faults. And they were like, no. Before she died and became an angel, what were her faults? And they were like, no, she was always an angel. She just went from a bodily form of angel to this heavenly. I was like, go fuck yourself. Like, there's some absolute nutters on the internet. We should do a nutters on the internet segment.
Kind of like Paddy Power's. What a thing to do.
Fan denial,
yeah, but yeah. Like person of interest denial kind of thing, man. Jesus, that'd be wild, wouldn't it? Speaking of people in denial,
the nurses.
Jesus Christ, I was going to say the government. Or folks joining us off.
So topical in the news this week. We said we were going to stay topical on this. We've settled down a bit. But the nurses are on strike in Ireland at the moment. This is day 3 of the strike today.
Hostile resistance.
Yeah, today is day 2.
The strike, Wednesday last week, Tuesday, Thursday this week.
Yeah. So the third day on strike today, and they're outside the hospital, so... All kind of outpatient services and stuff like that have been cancelled. Cancer services haven't been, but a lot of other normal outpatient services have been cancelled. So the nurses are striking because of a lack of retention of nurses in Ireland. So they basically like that's their main sticking point, and kind of a relation to that is that their pay is not of sufficient value to actually retain nurses, so they're looking for a pay increase.
But the thing is, they're not even looking for a pay increase. What they're looking for is pay restoration.
Yeah.
So pre the economic crash, they were on a certain rate set. We all know the economic crash that got nothing to do with public sector pay. It was completely unrelated to it. But because of political ineptness and incompetence, along with poor banking infrastructures, we ended up in a financial crisis that required sacrifice being made across the board in all public walks of life, which included public sector pay cuts. Since the recovery, in which nurses significantly contributed to it because they took a pay cut, they're just looking for that pay to be restored to the pre-crash values. Like the politicians have kindly restored their pay to pre-crash values and given themselves a nice little bump this week. And I can't help but fully go behind them. Like, our politicians are claiming there's not enough money to give the nurses pay restoration. Yes, there's enough money to give fucking Anglo bondholders €280 million last week. Do you know what I mean? There's enough money to not pursue this like Apple tax fraud or whatever. Do you know what? It's just bollocks.
It is absolute bollocks. You're not talking like you're actually. I say like after tax and all that, like you're actually not talking that much restoration at all.
No,
like, you know what I mean?
It's probably not that much in the nurse's pocket per se, but the whole point of it is that. Right, there hasn't been pay restoration, which means that the pay is worse off.
Yeah.
So the nurses are working a certain number of hours for free each week and they're not being paid for what they're doing. Their pay isn't in line with other allied healthcare professionals, even though all nurses have to have a degree and
are registered.
They're properly, like, it's a proper healthcare profession now. It's not a, it was almost like a trade back in the day where you, like, did your, you know, the methods of qualification were not as modern as they are now. And if they've basically come in line with international best practice in terms of training and everything like that. But the pay hasn't matched it. And the working conditions as a result haven't matched. So what you've got now is you've got highly qualified, well-trained nurses qualifying and looking at a workplace that's like absolutely defunct of fucking any morale, low in staff numbers, overworked, long hours. I mean, they literally are up to their eyeballs and shit because that's part of the job. It's simply part of the job. And they can't even get pay restoration. They're not even looking for a pay rise. It's pay restoration. And the fact that we've got fucking political leaders that are threatening for with financial sanctions against any nurses' strike. I mean, listen, lad. How incompetent are our current governments?
It's just infuriating. Like, it's, you know, it's such a duality. They can see pay restoration for one side of the coin, like, for no hassle at all, like, but I don't know, they just don't give a fucking shite at all, like, you know. In fairness, like, the fucking, and actually the worst thing about this strike is that the nurses are still doing the same job at the moment in strike as they are doing, like, normal, because they're operating off skeleton staff every day of the week anyway. So whether they're out in a picket or not, they're still pretty much doing the same amount of work anyway. So the care of the patient is the exact same as it was anyway. So, like, it's actually because the nurses care so much about the patient and not bringing any harm to the patient, it's to the detriment of their strike.
So they're putting themselves under more pressure.
Yeah.
But, like,
they'll do it, and they won't even complain about it.
And listen, they have our full fucking support in doing it, the nurses, because, do you know what? It's about time to sit up to them. Like, the government is saying it's going to cost $300 million for this pay restoration, right?
Yeah.
They say they can't afford it.
Yeah.
By fuck, like, we need nurses a lot more than we need politicians.
Yeah.
Society needs this badly.
What's that? That's what? 3% of the
GDPR.
3% of the Apple tax bill is what that'll be.
Roughly. Fuck's sake. And as far as I'm concerned, right, listen, we looked at the financial crisis that you could say Fianna Fáil led us into. If you looked at back that, Fine Gael, they stood idly by and they did not. They're all the one. I don't think Sinn Féin have the answers. I don't think the hard left definitely don't have the answers like this. The middle left is where I be leaning.
We need the fucking slow class, is what you need.
That's what we should be fucking running the country. We can fucking sort a lot more out. But I actually said something to my grandfather today, who's like, grandfather reads every broadsheet newspaper cover to back, watches the news 3 times a day. He's a well informed man, very well educated man. And I said something to him, he said, that's the best way I've heard it summed up. And that's like the biggest compliment I can take from him. And so he said, how would you describe the whole thing now? And he said, it's like this, granddad, in my eyes. Fine Gael let us out of an economic recession and they're leading us into a fucking social recession. Where, like, we can't fucking pay nurses. We've a homelessness crisis. We've a housing crisis. Do you know what I mean? There's, yet at the same time, all these developers who let us into a fucking being a bankrupt society, they're all now being paid fortunes for properties on keys in Dublin and shit like that.
Yeah.
And you read it every day in the news and you look at it and you think, how are they not being held to account? Like, would Óglaigh na hÉireann stand for that 100 years ago if they were around now? Be fucked, they wouldn't.
Actually, what?
There's no class call to arms.
Actually, what? You said, what, 300 million it cost
a... Yeah, a year.
How much has that fucking new children's hospital cost?
1.4 billion.
Billion, yeah.
And the thing with that is, no heads will roll. And heads that will roll on a full pension.
Full pension.
The lack of accountability at higher level in government and government agencies
There's too many jobs.
The Irish government are like the movie Layer Cake.
Like what?
The movie Layer Cake. Leo Varadkar is fucking your man who plays
Daniel
James Bond.
Daniel Craig.
So if you're listening to this, Leo, get off your hole and support the poor nurses.
I love it.
Look, do you know what? It's something that's close to our hearts here. And we felt the need to address it, and just for our legions of listeners, we just wanted to say that as far as we're concerned, we're fucking fully behind the nurses. Deserves every penny that they should be getting. And power to you girls, you're a fucking great bit of stuff. And men.
So we'll
look at some men nurses as well.
We'll stick on the topic of the government, and we'll talk a little bit about Brexit, right?
I love it.
Because it's become such a fucking shambles.
My brother slagged me off saying that my personal Twitter account is just me slagging people off over Brexit the whole time. Which pretty much is.
But like, I actually don't know. How could you be a UK politician and not be the most embarrassed person in your life? Like, would you not just cringe into a ball? You'd be like, what's that, like, you'd be like one of those Pokemon that kind of rolls into a ball. That's what I think.
Sandshrew,
yeah.
Fucking, the Tories are a bunch of sandshrews.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Fucking Tory shrew and cunts. I'll put it this way, Jay. If you look at all the people that were behind the referendum and the Leave campaign, they all did a runner. David Cameron cowered, called the referendum. Basically, the fundamentals in the party wanted tougher lines on immigration. He went to the EU first. EU said EU policy is EU policy, and they're soft on immigration, which is fair enough. Because listen, trust me, the people coming from fucking Syria and places like that. I'd be looking at fucking Leave if I was there. And to say that anyone in Ireland, the UK, mainland Europe can comprehend where them people are coming from is bullshit. Like, I grew up in fucking Western Europe, well looked after, with a fucking family with some means. Not great means, but some means.
I started watching a documentary there, All or Nothing, the Manchester City documentary. It's on Amazon Prime, but it's actually really good. Like, I must watch the Sunderland Till I Die one as well.
Sunderland Till I Die.
Have you watched that one?
Yeah, I've watched that one. I have Netflix. I don't have. I must get Amazon Prime.
Good. The Manchester City one, it does a really, really good background to, like, the whole season. Like, you know, their Premier League winning season, their last year, but. One of the boys who plays for Man City, Zinchenko.
Ukrainian chap.
And they were like, you know, you're saying that, like, he played for, like, Shakhtar Donetsk for, like, I think 4 or 5 years, like, underage, like. And then, like,
I know
the,
you're wrong
the,
to say.
Like, the Ukrainian crisis came and he had to move to Russia. And then, like, after a while we were in Russia, he found out that Man City were looking for him, and he went there. But, like he was just saying, like, you just, like, you again, you can't comprehend. Like, he was like, I had to stop playing football for about a year, and like at that age when you're, like,
but like even
like, you know,
I'm fairly certain this is true, and I'm saying this after a few points without like looking it up or anything, but the Donbass Arena where Shakhtar played the home games, I'm fairly certain that they had to relocate for a couple of years because the crisis literally was happening in and around Donetsk.
Yeah.
So I'm fairly certain a Premier League team went to play them in Kiev, I believe.
I think
I remember that happening. That's madness. Literally, a whole city being fucking forced to relocate.
Yeah.
Do you know, we have no comprehension of what it's like to go up in a war. Like, 100 years ago in this country, that's literally what it was. In 1919 in this country, we were priming ourselves for a war of independence after a failed rising in 1916.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's one of them things that the modern British, and you know, I know we're talking about Brexit now, but to bring to something that I briefly mentioned to you and we didn't know if we'd talk about it or not, but fucking I'm going to say it. Talk about wartime versus now. A lot of the Brexiteers thing is, you know, about making Britain great again and an empire again. And they say, like, the great, and I say this in inverted commas, Winston Churchill, right? And all that. I know John Barron's come out the last few days and been like, oh, Winston Churchill's a white supremacist and a murderer, because the Scottish lad said it last week. And he got lambasted by the like of Piers Morgan and that. And then you on Twitter, all these Brexit lads saying, oh, if it weren't for Winston Churchill, you'd be fucking speaking German in it. But you're like, if it wasn't for the British Empire, we'd be speaking Irish as opposed to English. Do you know what I mean? Because we're in Ireland. And my whole thing is like, the whole like Brexit motion and this like idea of the British United Kingdom, like the British Empire was what Hitler wanted Nazi Germany to become.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's an exact parallel. And I just think like the whole Brexit debate needs this kind of common sense approach, which it doesn't have. But I don't, do I blame those people? I'm not sure, because the tabloid media are selling them this story the whole time. Every day you look at the headline of the sensationalist tabloids in the UK, Sun, Daily Mail, all these, it's all driving the one campaign.
Yeah, but like,
that's propaganda.
The media just annoys me in general, like a lot daily. Like, so like, all these kind of clickbait articles anyway, right?
Aye.
Well, like, to bring it back to the nurses' strike, RTE contacted Sarcoma Ireland looking to talk to cancer patients that were affected by the nurses' strike. Like, basically just trying to get, like, a fucking story out of that. Like, you know, and you're just like, how dare you go and talk to a cancer victim to try and,
get a question then? At RTE, have you gone in the last 2 years of waiting list and tried to talk to a cancer patient whose thing has been cancelled because of a lack of nursing resources?
No, they haven't.
It's happened more over the last 2 years because of fucking lack of infrastructure, lack of resources, lack of nurses than it has ever happened over a strike.
So
it's the only second time in 100 years they've striked.
So how many CT scans have been cancelled or whatever? How many patients don't have a PET scan? Right?
Yeah. Don't have any reference point through their treatment.
No.
It's absolutely scandalous. And like, look, as far as we're concerned, it's Snowcast. Power to the fucking nurses. Power to the nurses. And fucking power to the fucking people trying to get Britain to remain the EU. I had this conversation with my grandfather. I'd love to know, Owen, your take on this. Because look, we're both fairly informed lads. I wouldn't consider myself a fucking expert in Brexit by any stretch of the imagination. But look, I stay informed on it because it is important. It'll affect our friends like Shroomy, the mushroom farmer, and them lads. But look, like, that's one for the loyal Snowcast listeners there. So I had to, again, bring back to my grandfather, Morris Walsh. Well, like, much better red man than I am on all these topics. Where do you see, well, we're faced with a realistic proposition today. Europe rejected the idea of Theresa May going back and renegotiating Brexit terms. But basically, like, we're that close to it. A no deal Brexit is going to happen. We have to be realistic about this. 10 years' time, what do you see the makeup of Western Europe looking like? And how do you see it getting there?
I think Brexit will probably actually cause a bigger foundation of Europe as, or the EU as is now. Like, I think there'll be quite a backlash against Brexit, and it'll be, you saw today in the news that some of the Irish ministers were over in Washington, and you might have missed this in your medazzling hype state, but
Honda Medaz.
They were over in Washington or whatever, and basically there were a few US politicians said that they would not do trade deals with the UK unless the Irish backstop was guaranteed. So like, the US are like pushing for like the safety of the Good Friday Agreement in Ireland. Like,
I saw that, Josh. So, I didn't see that yet.
So like, I think like even there you have like a protective state of like Ireland and what they are, and like, you know, as the EU as a whole. So
if the backstop doesn't come true, if no deal happens, the backstop stop doesn't come true, and if there's a return to anything that's a resemblance of the Troubles, the fucking DUP have a lot to answer for. There's a lot of blood in their hands because they've propped this up.
All fucking, what, 10 of them, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly. It's a joke, but look, it's a complicated issue. 1916 there on the clock. Are you staying whatever hand of the Elish? Look, that was lovely. Well timed as well. I just don't get it. I'll tell you how I see the next 10 years going if there's no deal Brexit. No deal Brexit dissolves into chaos in a sense, but I think it'll economically harm everywhere for a couple of years because of the uncertainty alone. Scotland will straight away go into a referendum for independence and vote to leave the UK, I think, and try and rejoin the EU.
Yeah.
That'll be delayed because there's other countries trying to rejoin, but I think they'll try and set up trade links and they'll have a claim, some, they'll find some loophole that they'll get into the EU through the links to Ireland. And I think through that, what you'll have is you'll have the UK financially unable to support the North, leading to the North referendum for Northern Ireland to leave the UK, Northern Ireland then not being able to stand on its own, and then a further referendum for unification of Ireland and Northern Ireland. I think it'll pass. I don't think it'll be easy. I think it'll be 10 hard years, but eventually I think it looks like England and Wales on their own, with Scotland, hard border of Scotland, and a united Ireland, and Ireland and Scotland as part of the EU. And I think it'll take about 8 or 9 years for that to develop, play out, and the uncertainty and everything. I think it'll be tough economically, and then I think we get established some sort of equilibrium.
Wow.
But I think there are other countries who leave the EU in that time frame, I believe. Like, I think Poland are fairly unstable. A few Eastern European countries, I think, would probably look out for out. But
yeah, I don't know. A lot of the Eastern European countries, though, are quite reliant on the funding and the banking of the EU to actually
treat. I think there'd be a false sense of security there that they think now they're okay to be on their own, and that there's a post-Soviet need for infrastructure, and now they think they have it, they can go.
Yeah, but then they'd hit by one recession and fucked again, man.
So it'll be interesting. Like, to be honest with you, like, we say we've bailed out our banks and stuff like that, and the EU hasn't supported us and all that, but like, the amount of infrastructure we have, like, from roads, towns and everything, from the EU loan, has offset that in to a certain respect, as far as I'm concerned. So I think it's a complicated debate, it's not a simple one, but the fucking whole Brexit thing, it's a mess. And I think we're entering into another economic recession just based on that alone, regardless of what we do politically or policy wise. I don't it's gone so far now, I don't see there being any soft resolution.
I can't see Brexit going ahead on the March whatever deadline.
Yeah, but they're not negotiating, so I don't see how they don't just leave in an abyss. And then that's what I'm saying, I think they leave on March 29th or whenever it is, but it's just everything falls to fuck and we're just left to pick up the pieces. That's the way I see it going. Because they've rejected the opportunity to negotiate, Britain have rejected the deal that they've negotiated. But this is my point. Britain has negotiated this deal and they've rejected it themselves. And now they want people to be soft on them. When has Britain ever been soft on a country trying to leave the United Kingdom?
Yeah.
Never.
Never. Freedom!
They may take our lives. They may take our economy. But they'll never take our freedom. Anyways, that was a bit more serious chat from us than usual. We'll be back with a bit of Valentine's piss taking and some love remarks soon. We're going to end on a positive note. A positive penis.
Pokey.
Pokemon, gotta catch them all.
I'm horny, 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 horny. So horny, 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 horny.
Baby, who? To love me sexy, slip on your shoes and suck me sexy.
Right, hello. Welcome.
How are you?
Back. Welcome back from the ad break challenge. Have you been watching Operation Transformation?
No.
Anyway.
But I hear the real life doctor has.
Oh. Nice tag from one of our sponsors.
Yeah. You've just listened to an advert from the real life doctor.
Oh, yeah. Oh god, don't play that one again.
We can slip that one back in. Speaking of Valentine's Day.
As we were saying at the very start of the Shnubcast there, that this week is Valentine's Week. Well, it's going to be Valentine's Day. I'm not sure if it's a Valentine's Week.
Well, it's coming out the Monday before Valentine's Day.
The 11th.
Before the 14th.
Before the 14th. So all you lucky ladies out there, I hope your men are treated you right. Anyway, so for our little sexy segments now. So our first question I'm going to put to you, DJ, is what is your favourite Johnny?
My favourite Johnny. Well, first of all, there's a Johnny embedded in Snugcast folklore. episode 3 of the Snowcast. Johnny Moon. What a man. I never met him, you met him. So Johnny Moon was my favourite Johnny I've never met.
Yeah.
Well, I probably haven't met my other favourite Johnny either. My favourite Johnny in terms of personal news is probably a Jorex Federalist.
Jesus
Christ. Oh, stop. I know what makes that guys. My father just told me this week he started to listen to us, so he's going to listen from now on. Dad, if you want to text in what your favourite Johnny is. Fucking kill me.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
How many brothers and sisters would I had if it wasn't for Jorex Federlite? If Jorex wanted to sponsor this Snowcast, we're more than happy to have them on board. My favourite Johnny, it's probably Johnny Cash. I'm trying to bring it back to some bar. Probably Johnny Cash. Johnny Depp's a good Johnny.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash musically, Johnny Depp actorly. And then if we're talking about Johnny's from a sporting sense.
Johnny Sexton, I suppose.
Yeah, and sex is in the name as well, with it being Valentine's Week.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Johnny has a ton of sex.
Johnny Sexton, give it to him.
We pretty much got that boxed off. Thinking of other Johnnies. Boxed, yeah. See, I'm a fucking man for the puns. I think we've boxed it off.
Right.
There's probably a few other Johnnies I'm forgetting. Sorry, Johnny lad.
Right. Next topic, so, right. Favourite film title that could be a porno or that could be slightly amended to be a porno.
Alright, so are you talking about an actual proper realisation of a porno or if my life was a porno?
No, just amend the movie title.
Okay. Toy Story. if it was my life, it'd probably be gone in 60 seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd
probably be Fast and Furious.
Fast and the Furious, yeah. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
When Kira's away, I'm probably home alone.
Yeah. There's a certain week in the month where I'm probably frozen. Why are so many of these children's movies so long?
Yeah, animated children's movies.
That's a great one. Over the Hedge. I never even thought of that one. Stop. A movie title. Die Hard for the old people.
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon.
Schindler's Fist.
That's changing it now.
I said slightly amended.
Okay, can we slightly amend?
Yeah.
Grand. alright, so instead of Ed TV, I'm going with Head TV. Yeah, smooth. I'm trying to keep. Bruce Almighty is actually just a good one.
3 Men and a Baby.
We'll have to send this to the lawyers before. 4 weddings and a funeral. Pretty Woman.
Oh, Pretty Woman, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Super Bad.
Super Bad, yeah.
Shaft. Pulp Fiction.
Yep, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, I'm happy with that one.
The Rod Father.
Hot Rod. Oh, stop. Carlito's Way.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Casa Wanka. We get more childish as we go on.
Yeah.
For any respectable members of society, I'd like to apologise on behalf of Smokecast now.
Yeah.
Thank you. The Tugcast, if it was podcasts.
It would be. Tugcast.
Pretty much what this is. We're doing good there.
We have another topic.
Right, Owen. You and Kira have been together a while. Shared many a Valentine together.
What is this?
What's the best thing you've ever done for Valentine's Day?
Nothing. Oh, we're very staunch non-Valentinian.
So am I.
Yeah. We never do anything for Valentine's Day.
Do you remember we had this conversation a few weeks back about New Year resolution and how it was Lord Bollock?
Yeah.
I firmly believe that Valentine's Day is a holiday created by Hallmark.
Oh, so yeah, so am I.
Purely profiteering. And I make this point every year to Niamh, and it falls on a deaf ear sometimes, that like, sure, if I wasn't doing enough during the rest of the year, like, surely if I did enough during the rest of the year, it wouldn't need one day of extra attention, do you know what I mean?
Which you obviously are,
like, you
know. I suppose, in fairness, if Kira had been into it, I probably would have bought into it and been like, here we go.
You'd have had to really, like, keep up.
Yeah, exactly. But in fairness,
for a quiet life, like.
Yeah, yeah. Happy wife, you know. Kira, in fairness, from the start, always been like, what's the point in having an overpriced meal on a day when, like, overpriced presents, overpriced car, everything, like, and all is in, like, why, like, what's the difference, like, in fact, like, sometimes you might get kind of caught up in the lovey-doveyness of, like, that time, like, you know, because, you know, there's maybe romantic films on TV and stuff like that. But, like, we might go out on the 16th of February or something like that.
Draws way nicer. Like, the fucking 19th of March or something, just all of a sudden sitting at home.
Yeah, exactly.
And we go for a big rub there and go for a G.
Well, that's it, like. But, like, you end up getting whatever restaurant you want or whatever, like, at some other random day, like, even that week, if you want to do it, like, the 14th of February is a fucking joke of the day, like.
Saw a good thing today on Farrell Fitness Facebook page, and they're offering a free month membership for whoever tags 5 people in the York and gives the best chat up line they've ever heard. Cheesy one.
Okay.
So just to chat up the listeners now.
Okay.
And you've only one line to do it. What's your line?
Oh, sorry. Alright. Okay. I actually wasn't really. Alright, okay. I'm so out of the game now. I don't even have a challenge.
You never even got in the game. You started young.
Do you have one?
How's your arse for love bites? Solid, yeah. It cuts straight to the point. Hey, do you know what we never thought of for the movies that only need changing the title?
What?
Snatch. Oh, we've lost control.
Yeah, we've lost it.
Anyway, lads, that's been a very romantic episode of this podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it. As ever, I'd implore you to like us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, follow us on Twitter, like us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on all social media platforms. If you're listening on iTunes, or if you have an iPhone or an iPad, rate us on iTunes 5 stars, please. If you don't want to rate us 5 stars, don't rate us at all. Also, our host Anchor have actually just joined up with Spotify there recently. So Anchor are very good to host us for free. We do all the hosting editing through that. It's a great function. So if you're listening to us on the platform, you're not sure, you've jumped between platforms, Spotify is a great way to listen to Snowcast completely for free. If you have a Spotify premium account, you'll be able to listen to it ad-free, apart from the ads we put in for Simon Calhoun, that's made up by us. So listen, lads, thanks a million for being part of the Snowcast. We love this journey, we love having you on with us. Like, listen, follow, subscribe, as you always say. Owen, have you a parting gift for the listeners in this mad thrown together ramble?
I think I just want to add to that as well, I think if you can subscribe to us and add us as a podcast on anything that you're listening to, that'll be absolutely brilliant. Like, because it definitely kind of promotes our podcast up. Yeah. And I haven't run this by you, but we'll run this as a test. If anyone wants to record a segment for the Snowcast, record a question for us.
I love where this is going.
Or record anything, right? And you can send a recording to thesnowcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
Or if you're listening to us on Anchor, we have a voice messages segment that you can send a voice message into, either or. And we'll try and get you on. We really want the listeners to kind of become a part of the podcast as well, and to get those kind of listeners' questions in.
Brilliant, John.
And get a bit of that. We don't want any questions like, you know, how did you start out the podcast or anything like that. We want something absolutely ridiculous, like you know, who would win between you and a cheetah, like, you know.
Yeah. Or like, you know, if you had to wrestle a seal.
Yes.
Something stupid. Also, lads, I just wanted to add, echo what Owen's saying, and also say, like, I'll give you one task for this week when you listen to the Snowcast. Make another friend listen. One other friend.
I'll
give them homework. Make one other friend who doesn't already listen. And listen, actually, the social media engagement's been fucking brilliant in the last 2 weeks. Like, people liking our posts, people sharing our posts, people commenting our posts. On all media platforms. Thanks a million for that. We really appreciate it. We see every fucking individual notification. It lightens up our day. Thanks a million. And listen, lads, that's been another episode of the Stuntcast. These new microphones don't cover up the belches at all, do they?
No.
Schlanche.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.